Well, I want to make, in this sermon, I want to make it clear that I'm going to ask you to make a decision today. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not about accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's accepting His will for your life. I mean, many people accept Jesus Christ, but don't accept His will. In fact, when Jesus talks about the prayer to the disciples and they ask Him how to pray, He says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." It's one thing to accept Jesus, but it's another thing to accept His will for your life. How many understand that? Have you ever made a decision that you wished you could go back years later and change the decision you made? Anybody in this room? Just, you ever make a decision that you wished, "I wish I could go back and change what I decided that moment in time"? Father, we just pray by the Spirit of the living God that you just minister in this house today. By your Spirit, we ask for truth and revelation knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, the grass fades, the flower dies, but Father, your word remains forever. So I pray and ask by the Spirit of God that you just anoint me to give this word, I pray, with your anointing on it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my question to you is, have you made a decision to surrender to the will of God? You've made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. But the decision we need to make is, He going to become my Lord and Savior? I often say, as a pastor, I see in the counseling process, I see a lot of people who want Jesus to save them, but as far as Jesus being their Lord, that's a different story. But how many know Jesus died to be your Lord and Savior, not just your Savior? And so we have a story in the book of Ruth, and I want to deal with part of the story of Ruth we never, ever talk about. And that is the story of Orpah. How many know that Orpah has a story? She has a story. It's not in the Bible, but the Jewish history, you find out that she has a story. And the reality is, you know the end of her story. You know all about it. You just don't know who it is. And I'm going to tell you who that is later in this sermon if I get time today. And so I want to look at two women that had a choice to make a decision to walk into the anointing of God, to walk in the destiny of God. And one chose to walk with Naomi back to Bethlehem, and one chose to decided to go back to Moab and to her gods. And how many know that the decisions you make affect every aspect of your life? The fact of where you're sitting today is a composite of every decision you made along life's road right now to bring you to the point you're sitting right here today. How many understand that? It is decisions that have brought you to this point. So I want to turn, first of all, to Ruth, the book of Ruth. Joshua judges Ruth. And I'm going to ask a question today. What do you do when you come to the decision of the fork in the road? How many know that life will present decisions before you, chances and opportunities, and we have to make the most of them? In the book of Ruth, chapter 1, Elimelech and Ruth had gone, and Naomi had gone to Moab. They had left the town of Bethlehem, the house of bread. And they had gone to Moab, and one of the things you'll notice in Scripture is it never says that the Bible or the Lord or the Spirit of the Lord told him to go. He made a decision to go. And things didn't go real well. And at this point, Naomi has lost her husband, her two sons have died, they've married Moabitish women. And Naomi makes a decision, and the decision is, it's time to go back to Bethlehem. Say with me, it's time to go back to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem represents the house of bread, or really, it represents the church. And in that, thank you, gentlemen, I appreciate that. We did pay our light bill. Hallelujah. And they are now headed home. Verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6. And then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. She went forth out of the place. Everybody say, out of the place. Place is going to be very important in this sermon today of understanding place. And she went forth out of the place. Out of the place where she was. And her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. She went out of the place of where she was. Verse number 7, underline that. Wherefore she went forth out of the place. Sometimes the greatest thing we can do is get up out of the place we are in and get to the place God is calling us to be. And the reality is in our life there is a place that God has called us to be. If you go over to the third chapter of Ruth, and we'll look at that. What did Naomi tell her? In verse chapter 3, verse 1, Naomi told her daughter-in-law, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee that it may be well with thee?" How many know that it is God's desire to seek rest for you, that it would be well with you? God wants it well with you. God wants you to have rest and have well-being in this earth. Beloved, I pray that above all things that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That's scripture, brother and sister. And she says, "Is it not right that I would seek rest for you and that it may be well with you? And is not Boaz our kindred with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight down in the threshing floor. Wash yourself thereof, washing of the water with the word. Anoint yourself by the person of the Holy Spirit. Put on the raiment, the robe of righteousness, and get thee down to the floor, but not make thyself not known unto the man until he have done eating and drinking communion. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the what? The place." Everybody say the place. God has a place for you to mark in your life. God has a place for you to mark. And she says, mark the place. First of all, he says, get up out of the place. And he says, I want you to go to this place. God has a place for us to go. So you might be in one place and God is saying, get out of this place because I have some other place for you to go. How many know that if God is taking you from one place, he's going to take you and have a place for you to go? When God took the children out of Egypt, he had a place for them to go. He takes us out to bring us in. And so he said, get out of this place and go to this place. Scripture says that God told Moses, I want you to hide in the cleft of the rock. He said, I want you to mark this place in the cleft of the rock. How many of you know that we sing that song, in the cleft of the rock? For on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is seeking sand. That is what he told Moses. When Moses said, I want to see your glory, God told him, I want you to hide in the cleft of the rock in this very specific place. And that place is in Christ. How many know anytime you see rock in the Old Testament, it's talking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I don't think you believe that, so we will have to look at that later. I just look at it now. Exodus 33. And God told him there's a very specific place. And that place is in Jesus Christ. Moses had a relationship with God that was very unique. In Psalms we learned that David said that God spoke to most of his prophets through dreams and visions, but to Moses he spoke face to face. And in Genesis 33 verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory, O Lord. And the Lord said unto him, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, this is my glory, that thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me. And the Lord said, there is a place by me. Everybody say place. There is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is seeking. Say, the place is Jesus Christ. It is a place. It is a literal place. So how many believe that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father right now? The Bible says he's seated at God, the right hand of God the Father, ever living to make intercession. So what is Jesus doing? Ever living to make intercession. Ever living to make intercession. But he told his disciples, behold, I go to prepare a place for you in John chapter 14. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, hold it. The Bible says that he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. He ever liveth to make intercession. Is he making intercession or is he building me a mansion? What if that scripture is not at all what you think it is? What if that scripture is, behold, I go to prepare a place for you. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. We sing songs about it. We've made doctrine out of it. We've made theology. I've got a mountain just over the hilltop. He's making, how many know that God's making a mansion for you? If you look up the word mansion there in Hebrew, you find out it's not even mentioned. It's called a place. It's called a place. Jesus said, I'm preparing a place. He said it right there. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. The literal translation there in the Hebrew is, are many rooms. Are many rooms. the reality is in heaven, how can a mansion compare be to the glory of heaven? So I might mess with your theology a little bit today, and we'll find out how important this communion service really is. Because this is a place. Do this often in remembrance of me. Get down to the threshing floor, Ruth. Get down to the house of God. Get down to the place where Christ is. Get down to the place where Boaz is. There is a place in God, Moses, and you can stand on the cleft of the rock, and there is protection and power. And if you want to see the glory of God, the goodness of God, there is a place hidden in the cleft of the rock. That's what God told Moses. There is a place in God that the blessings of God flow. How many know, beloved, I pray above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's the same man that wrote the book of Revelations. That talks about all the end of the history of the earth, and everybody wants to study Revelations and know what's going to happen in the end times. I got news for you. Why don't you find out what God wants for your life right now? I'll never forget as pastors, we were dealing with a girl, and she's had multiple problems, children, her husband had run and abandoned and left her, and a pastor was trying to teach her about theology, and you know what she said? She said, I know that's in the future, but what can your God do for me today? That's a good question. Yeah, it might be down the road 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, but can your God help me today? And I'm here to tell you, my God can help you here today. My God can help you here today. My God can help you here today. I'll tell you what, it put that pastor in his place. I want to tell you about the end times, I want to tell you about Revelation, but what can your God do for me today? That's hard. I need food for my children. I need a place to live. What can you... Oh, I want to tell you about Revelation. I want to tell you 20 years from now, 30, the mark of the beast. And I'm not saying that's not important. It is important. But when you're dying and starving, you need to know, God, can you do anything right now? There's a place in God. The reality is, if you're in this place in God, you don't have to worry about that place 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now. The reality is, I want you to be ready for the rapture no matter when it is. I want you to be ready for Jesus Christ when He turns no matter when it is. I'm not going to scare you to get you ready. I want to prepare you to live the life God has for you right now. How many know God has a life for you right now? Is there anybody in this room that you need God to do something in your life? One people. One hand. The one in the back. There's a dog back there with his paw. My goodness. Hallelujah. Oh, it's Randy. I'm sorry. I love him. In Genesis 26, God told Isaac something very interesting. He said, I have a place for you. Your father Abraham, he's gone. He said, I want you to go dig out the wells your father Abraham had. And the Bible says that he went and he dug the first well, and the Philistines came and filled it back up. And Isaac named that well Esek, contention and strife. But Isaac, bless his heart, he just kept going on in God. So God said, go dig another well. He did it, dug another well. And they filled that up. The Philistines did, and it was called, he called it Sitna, the place of accusation and opposition. But God said, I want you to dig one more well. And in that well, guess what happened? There was nothing but blessing. And Isaac said, I have found a well of living water. What did Jesus say? He that is thirsty, come unto me. And if you drink of my water, you shall never thirst again. He said, for I am that living water that has come down from heaven. The place we're talking about, brothers and sisters, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, there is a place. Sometimes we need to get out of that place to go to this place. The third well he called Rehoboth, which means room or place. In Psalm 18:19 and Psalm 31:8, David said, the Lord has brought me into a large place. The Lord has brought me into a large place. In one translation it says, in a large room. In the Hebrew translation, the Lord has brought me to a place of God-given opportunity. Woo! You guys will get it. You're doing something in our life. God has brought you to a place of God-given opportunity. Anybody else doing anything at all? God has brought you to a place of God-given opportunity. In 2020, I'm praying and asking God to show you what the steps are to step in that place of God-given opportunity. God tells Naomi, I want you to go back to Bethlehem. And Naomi tells her daughter-in-laws, I got to go back home. And Ruth says, I'm going to go with you. And what's her name? Orpha says, I'm going to go with you. And a little way out of town on the road to Bethlehem, Orpha says, I'm going to go back home. You're one decision away from changing the history of the rest of your life to God's history for you. You're one decision away from changing your history to God's destiny for your life. Say, I'm one decision away. Don't give me age. Don't give me any of that. Don't give me that stuff, because Moses was 80 when God came and found him in the wilderness and said, I want you to go down and get my children out of Israel. I want you to take them out. He was 80. Everybody say 80. 80 years old. Has God lost his mind? The man's old. He's lost it. He don't have it anymore. I got news for you. You're smarter at 80 than you ever were at 40. You have more wisdom and knowledge and revelation at 80 than you ever did at 60. And God comes to Moses at 80 years old. He comes to Joshua and Caleb at 80 years old. He said, I want you to do something that you've never dreamed that you can do if you get to this place. 80 years old, and God shows up. God says, Isaac, I want you to go dig out those wells. The third well he calls Rehoboth. It means a place, a room. It's a place God has awaiting for me. The opportunity. How many know that the name Ruth means blessed one? And Orpha means stiff-necked and stubborn. How many know there's a high cost of bad decisions? There's a high cost to bad decisions in our lifetime. The reason that God has given us the Holy Spirit is to help us with our decision-making process. How many know that there are times when you wish you had gone back? One of the sweetest things in life is to know you've made the right decision along the way at the right time. The Bible says something interesting about Orpha. Ruth says that, or Naomi says that, you want to go back? And she says, I'll tell you what, you'll go back, and you'll go back to your people, and you'll go back to your gods, little g. That's what she tells her. That's in your Bible. And you know Orpha's seed. You just don't know you know it. I'm going to tell you who her seed is today. There's a high cost for bad decisions. Ruth makes a decision to go with Naomi. And she goes with Naomi into this place that God has for her. Everybody say, this place. And she's on her way. Ruth has a destiny. Orpha wants to live in her history. So how did Orpha miss such a great opportunity? Both sisters had been exposed to the God of Israel. Both of these women had been exposed. And yes, some people say they were sisters. Both of these women had been exposed to Jehovah, God of Israel. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom. Both of them had been exposed to the truth that the Jewish people had, that there is only one God, not many gods as they believed in Moab. Both of them had been exposed to the truth, but only one of them makes a decision to go on into Bethlehem, or on into the truth, or on into the nation of Israel, where they know that the living God of Israel operates, and he operates in power and might, and one decides to go, and one decides to return to Moab. How is it that we can miss opportunities that God gives us? How is it that we miss opportunities? The reality is, she was on the road. She was with Naomi and Ruth. She was on the road to Bethlehem. She was on the way. She was on her way. She was on God's way for her. God was trying to draw her out of Moab and get her to Bethlehem. God was working on bringing her out. Have you ever seen people that they come out, but then they turn around and go back? And the problem is, when they come out, turn around, go back, many times it's 10 times worse or much worse than when they left. Jesus talks about that when it talks about cleaning our house spiritually. So are you one decision away from God's best for your life? This is your opportunity. God told David, I have put you in a large place. In the Hebrew it says, I have put you in a place for a higher expression of yourself. I have put you in a place for God's expression of who you are. For God's expression of who you are. How many know the story of Peter? There was an expression of who Peter was. Big, bad Peter. I'll never deny you. And then there was Peter, who got humbled by the Holy Spirit. Got humbled by his own words. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, oh, ye men of Israel who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. 30 days ago, he had just denied Jesus Christ. That's the power of the blood. It can wipe your sin and the memory of your sin out. It can take a memory of your sin and it can discard it and act like you have never sinned before. That's the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power of being in the place. Yes, my past was that, but that's history. Where I'm going forward is what God has for me. And Peter became one of the greatest disciples that ever lived. He became the saint that started the birthday of the church. And now we revere Peter and we talk about him at the pearly gates. He's not at the pearly gates, trust me. God wouldn't let him be there. He's too crazy. Anyway, this is what God has done. There's no craziness you have that God can't deal with. That God can't take it and make something great out of it. But you've got to get to the place. Ruth, I have set you in a large place. Ruth, I'm giving you an opportunity. Orpha, I'm giving you an opportunity. And we read this story about Ruth and Orpha, and we look at this great story about Ruth. We forget that Naomi's redeemed in the process. But what about Orpha? Whatever happened to her? Have you ever read the Bible and said, you know, I want to know the rest of the story? How many know that there's history books, Jewish history books you can read that will tell you many times the rest of the story if the Bible doesn't get into? There is a story about Orpha in the Talmud that tells us exactly what happened to Orpha. Exactly what happened to her. She was one decision away from being in the place God had prepared for her. All right. I don't know who put that there, but I'll talk to her after service. Do you know all great opportunity starts in obscurity? Isaac, I want you to go dig out your father's wells. Dig them out. They covered them up. I don't care. Dig them again. They cover that up. Okay. Dig one more well. Sometimes I think we just need to understand we just need to dig a little bit deeper in our spiritual walk. Don't overlook the opportunities I have given you. Do you know that when David went down to meet Goliath, do you know what the errand was that he was originally sent on by his father Jesse? The original errand was to take bread and cheese to his brothers on the battlefield. That's how Israel fought the battles. You had to provide your own food. You had to provide your own food. You had to provide your own weapons. And David's charge that day to go down to his brothers in the valley of Hela was take your brother's bread and cheese. That was the charge. Take your brother's bread and cheese. Are you serious, Dad? This is what you want me to go down there for? Every great thing God does starts in obscurity. Let's see, 2 fish and 5 loaves. Anybody know that story? It's in the Bible. Anybody know that story by show of hands? That what God fed how many people with 2 fish and 5 loaves? 5,000 men. 5,000 men. We don't know how. If there were 5,000 men, there could have been easily 5,000 women. No telling how many children were there. Just because it starts in obscurity does not mean it's not going to end up in the notoriety of God. Ruth ended up being in the very lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. The very lineage of Jesus Christ. You remember when Elijah told his servant, he said, "Go, I'm praying for rain." He said, go out there and see, tell me what you," he said, "I don't see nothing." He said, "Go back again. I don't see nothing." He said, "Go back in." He said, "I see a cloud the size of a man's hand." And what does Elijah say? He prophesies, "I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I see big rain from a small cloud." Don't underestimate what God can do in the beginnings. Don't never despise small beginnings. Ruth, God is about to put you in a large place. But you're going to have to start in the small corner of the field. Can you operate in the space God gives you until He brings you into that large place? Everything you've been through, every sickness, every disease, every bit of frustration, every setback, every bit of loss, do you understand that you have gone maybe through hell and high water and issues, but God has brought you to the very place you are today, and it is to save you alive, and if He's brought you to this place, He has a better place for you than even where you are today. How many understand that in God? If God has got you through all that mess and all that stuff you've gone through, He's taken you to a place. Do you understand that? God has used that to educate you. And He's brought you safely through. And Orpha, she's been through all this, and God gives her a chance. He brings her to the brink of decision, and she makes a decision to go back to Moab and the gods of Moab. Ruth makes a decision, and she tells Naomi something that's very interesting. She said, "Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." And she makes a declaration there that we know the God of Naomi. We know it is Jehovah God. And she says, "Jehovah will be my God, and I'm going to go with you to the place that God has assigned. I don't know where it is. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know I'm on the right road, and I'm going with you." Have you ever known I'm on the right road? It hasn't happened yet, but you just need to keep going. You just need to keep going. Say, I need to keep going. Whew. You guys don't sound like you're convinced at all. The Bible tells me that Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. That's what your Bible says. Ruth is the great-grandmother of King David. Orpha is the great-grandmother of Goliath. My God, do you hear what I just told you? There was a chance and I'm waiting in the meets where she had a chance to go with God. She had a chance to change her history and her destiny. And she turned back. Yeah, Orpha is the mother, great-grandmother of Goliath. How many know that Goliath and David met one day in a battlefield? And what happened that day? The devil said, I see her seeds going with God. I'll take her seed and try to kill the seed of God. Do you understand what I just told you? I told you something you probably never knew. Orpha was the great-grandmother of Goliath who tried to kill David on the battlefield. I tried to destroy Israel and destroy the promise of Israel and the promise of a Redeemer. Decisions are important, brothers and sisters, in what you decide in Jesus Christ and the opportunity. God says, I have set you in a large place. And that means, God says, I have put a great opportunity before you. Woo! I'm putting opportunity before you. Don't give me age. Don't give me belief. Don't give me any of that. Naomi was in her 70s, brothers and sisters, when this happened. Woo! She made a decision. I'm going back to Bethlehem. I'm going back to the house of bread. The reality, she may not have had a decision to go to Moab, but she did have a decision to go back to Bethlehem. Woo! We have a decision every day. We can go with Christ along the way. One woman ends up in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Another woman ends up in the lineage of the devil. All over one little decision. All over one little decision. Do you understand now why Solomon, which is Ruth's great-great-grandson, which is Ruth's great... How many think the writings of Solomon are just amazing? Well, Ruth was his great-great-grandmother. That was Solomon's great-great-grandmother. Ruth, this woman who made a decision. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. I will go where you go. I understand a divine appointment, a divine moment, divine time. I'll go with you. I've asked the Lord to show this church, and specifically leadership in this church, what God has for us in 2020. I've asked God to give us revelation for 2020. I'm asking God to show you appointments and times of 2020, of decisions. David said, the Lord has set me in a large place. That means God has given me an opportunity, a time to make a right decision in God. Every one of you, whether you know it or not, are at that crossroads right now. I've asked God for that. And God has told me that the 2020 is going to be a year of great opportunity. A year of great opportunity. One amen, one hallelujah. Hallelujah! My God, if you won't get excited, I will. I'll get excited for you. God told me it's going to be a year of great opportunity. Hallelujah! But the opportunity is based in decision. Oh, Orpha, bless your heart. You're on your way. You're on the road to Bethlehem. My God, it's a place that David's going to be born. It's a place Jesus Christ is going to be born. And you missed it. Because it seemed too hard. It seemed too long. It seemed too far. In fact, if you read the Talmud, you will find out that as Orpha went back into Moab, she got into just horrible sexuality and deviation, according to the Talmud. And she ends up being the father of the four giants that came against Israel. How many know that Goliath had four brothers? How many know that? Do you know David and his men killed every one of them? Do you know David and his men had to kill every one of them? David and his men had to kill every one of those giants. David and his men had to kill every one of them. Ruth, Orpha, God has given you both an opportunity to step into history. A history with God's version of it. Naomi, God is trying to take you back. Naomi, do you know you have a grandchild in Bethlehem? Naomi, do you know you have a grandchild that you never had in Moab and you were childless as a grandmother? You have a grandchild. Do you know the blessing God has for you in Bethlehem? Do you know the blessing God has you at His threshing floor? How many know the threshing floor represents the seed of God, where the Word of God is distributed as seed? What did Jesus say? The Word is the seed, is what He told His disciples. You come to the house of God for seed, the seed or the Word of God. This is the threshing floor God is talking about. It's time to get to the threshing floor, Ruth. Get down to the place. And then she says this, and mark it. Mark it. Get down to the place and mark it. It's the place of bread. It's the place of blessing. Wash yourself. Anoint yourself. Get your raiment upon thee. Don't make yourself known. You don't have to come in and be anybody. And after communion, it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he lie. And uncover his feet and lay there and worship him. And he will tell you what to do. Say with me. And he will tell you what to do. When you worship Jesus Christ, understand in 2020, there's going to be revelation in your life. There's going to be an understanding of God speaking in your life. And He will tell you what to do when you come to His feet and worship Him. He will tell you what to do. My goodness. Get down there to the threshing floor, Ruth. And He will tell you what to do. And I love her answer. And she said unto Naomi, her mother-in-law, all you've said to do, I'll think about it. All you said to do, I will do half of it. All you said to do, Orpha, Ruth, I'm going home. And Orpha comes halfway. She's on the road to Bethlehem. She's out of Moab. She's on the road to Bethlehem. And all you say to do, no. And Ruth says yes. And Ruth says yes. Maybe it's time we need to do all that He has told us to do. See, there is a place in God. What does she tell Ruth here? It's amazing to me. Her mother said to her mother-in-law, shall I not seek rest for thee and that may be well with thee? How many of you want rest and well-being for your children? That's what God wants for you as His child. A place of rest and a place of well-being. There is a place in God where these things exist. And it is the place. Ruth, this is no time to quit. Get yourself together. Let's go. God has bread in the house of bread. There is a place in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get down to the threshing floor. I've often wondered what Ruth and Naomi thought after God had restored everything to them. And the Bible says that Naomi got to nurse her grandbaby. And all the women of Bethlehem said, God has blessed her with a grandson she never had. God has blessed her with a child. God has blessed her with seed. God has given her the promise of their heart's desire. Can you imagine that? Going from no grandchild to now I have a grandchild of my Redeemer. And out of this child is going to come somebody named David. And out of David is going to become somebody named Jesus Christ. Can you imagine them understanding, I wonder how Orpha's doing. God, I pray it's well with her. Decisions are so important. Today when we take communion, I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord to illuminate to you the opportunity He's given you so that you can make the right decision for 2020. This is probably one of the most serious communions I've ever had, of asking God to illuminate to you. I'm on the road to Bethlehem. Will I stay on this path? Will I do all that Naomi has urged me to do? Who does Naomi represent? The Apostle Paul, telling the Gentile world how to find Jesus Christ. Naomi represents a Jewish woman or a Jewish religion, Jewish thought, Jewish understanding of God, how to find Boaz. The Apostle Paul tells us in the Pauline epistles how to find Jesus Christ, how to have relationship with Jesus Christ, how to walk the road with Jesus Christ. All of the Bible is told in this story, except we forget that there was a girl in here named Orpha, and we don't know what happened to her. But say, today I do. Today you know. Today you know truth. On the road to Bethlehem. On the road to the house of God. On the road to the threshing floor of God. On the road to where the seed of God is. In John 14:3, Jesus talks to the disciples right after they've had the Passover meal in the upper room. That happens in John chapter 12. And you need to understand how confusing this was for the disciples. Jesus told the disciples, let's go to Jerusalem and get ready for Passover. And in the middle of Passover, he says, I'm the Lamb. I'm the Lamb. And the disciples want to know, where's the Lamb? We're going to kill the Lamb. And Jesus said, I'm the Lamb. And the disciples were totally confused because Passover had slipped from Passover 4,000 years of history into one night it had become communion. One night on the road to Bethlehem, it had come communion time. And the disciples are confused. I thought we were having Passover. And then Jesus says this, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. This is new. Jesus tells them that whoever sins I forgive, they'll be forgiven. Jesus tells them, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And now the Passover lamb goes to a lamb with 4 feet, to a man standing, sitting before them, eating bread with them, and says, I am the living Passover of heaven. I am the Passover. And this confuses the disciples. So in John 14, Jesus begins to clear this up for them. Peter gets high-minded and says, I'll never deny you. 36, John 13:36, Simon Peter said, Lord, whither thou goest, I'll go. Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me. Not now, but thou wilt follow me afterwards. Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for you, for thy sake. Jesus said, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Now Jesus says this, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God? Believe also in me. How many believe in God? You can't believe in God without believing in Jesus Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. Great room. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, will I not come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also? Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. A place for you. Where is Jesus Christ right now? Where? The right hand of God the Father. The Bible says he's at the right hand of God the Father. That's what it says. The Bible says in Hebrews that he ever liveth to make intercession. Jesus said, behold, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus was talking about the cross. Jesus was talking about the cross. Where I go, you can't go. Where I go, you can't go. How many can know you're going to go to heaven? But how many know that you cannot do what Jesus did and go to the cross and do what Jesus Christ did? He's ever lived to make intercession. So is he making intercession for me or building a mansion for me right now? Intercession. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, you got to understand what just happened here. They have just had communion. They just had Passover meal. And Jesus said, Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to the cross. You can't go to the cross. Your blood is tainted. You're sinful man. I am going to the cross for you. I'm going where you can't go. I got news for you. You and I can go to heaven. Now. But he said, what I'm about to do, only the pure, perfect blood of God Himself can do what I'm about to do. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's talking about the cross. What does Paul say? We are seated with Christ in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. Where are we seated? And what's that location? Heavenly places. Everybody has believed the theology that God's building a mansion for him in heaven. I have news for you. God's already done everything he's going to do. Jesus said it's finished. I promise you, Jesus isn't up there building and carpeting and hammering and sawing boards and nails in heaven. He's not. He's ever living to make intercession. He said, the mansion I have is heaven. We have a misunderstanding of heaven. We think we're going to go sit on clouds and have some angels fanning us and eat pom-poms and grapes and granites all day long. That, if that's your conception of heaven, you're wrong. The Bible says you're going to be at the mercy seat of God, bowed head down before the living God of the universe. That's what the Bible says we're going to be doing. He's going to be teaching us about. God has already prepared a place. Behold, I go to prepare a place. That place is in Christ. Moses, I want you to go stand in the cleft of the rock, right? The rock is who? The rock is who? Jesus Christ is the rock. On Christ is solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. The place is Jesus Christ. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. That place is a resurrected Jesus Christ who will never die again, who lives ever unto the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever liveth to make intercession. Trust me, he ain't up there pounding nails and sawing boards. He's already done that. He's praying for you on a daily, minute-by-minute basis in heaven. That's what he's doing. And he's praying that when I'm on the road to decision, I'll be Ruth and not Orpha. Behold, I go to prepare a place. That place is in Christ. Do you know before the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was no place in Christ? You could not be born again before Jesus Christ died. The place is in Christ. I'm preparing for you a place. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. So I want you to get your theology right. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. That's a great song. But by the Word of God, it's kind of a little off. My mansion is Christ. My mansion is Christ. My mansion is Jesus Christ. That's where my home is. That's where I live. In Him I live. In Him I move. In Him I have my being. That's where I live. He's my mansion. He is my mansion, my God. How many understand what hell, Lord, help me? He's my mansion. I don't need a house up there. I'm in the house. And His name is Christ. In Him I live. In Him I move. In Him I have my being. But when I get to heaven, I'll get a mansion. No, I still want to live in Him, move in Him, have my being in Him for all eternity. Behold, I go to prepare a place, and where I go, you can't go. Peter, you can't do. Only the Son of God could do this. Only the Holy Blood of God could bring this event about. There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And He says, my blood will remove sin, take it away, wipe it out. Peter, you can't do this. When it's done, you can go to heaven. But He says, where you're about to go, what I'm about to do, you can't do it. You know, the Bible said that God looked in around and He looked for a man to stand in the gap and He found no one. So God said, I'll do it myself. Our house, our mansion is the person of Jesus Christ. For in Him we live and move and have our being. We are alive, Paul said, in Christ. It's not me that lives, it's Christ that lives in me. He said, Jesus is my mansion. I'm already home in heaven. I'm already in heavenly places in Christ. I'm going to start living my best life now. Most people are waiting to live their best life when they get to heaven. Ruth, you want to go back too? No. For we are raised with Him in the newness of life. Raised indicating builded with Him. Ruth, you're going to be King David's grandmother. How many understand what happened when David killed Goliath? One giant died, another giant was born. That's what happened. That's what happened. And yes, with David and all his faults, I'm amazing at the grace and mercy of God, that God still says, I have chosen you, David, to start the select nation of Israel in the earth. Wow. Ruth, what you going to do? You going to go back? No, God has a place for me. And in that place there is grace and mercy and goodness and treasure and blessing and anointing that's going to last to my children's 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 children. Orpha, you want some of this? Nah, not me. I'm praying that God will give you 2020 vision to understand in 2020. This is it. This is what God has called me to. This is where God is taking me. I won't turn back. I'll put my head to the grindstone and I'll do what God is having me to do. I'm asking you to pray that prayer before we take communion. The sin issue, you got sin in your life, you deal with it. I'm not your priest. You got sin, you get it before Jesus Christ. He's your high priest. I want you to deal with that. But I've asked the Lord to show you what He has for you in 2020. 2020 is going to be a marked year in the kingdom of God. But you got to accept it and believe it. God is going to present opportunity. The word large place in Hebrew means opportunity. God has brought me into a large place. I'm praying that none of us miss the opportunity God has in 2020. I'm praying for 2020 spiritual vision for each and every one of you. I'm praying for 2020 vision for myself. But I'm praying it for you. At least pray it for your children. You know, you might be old, over 70, past the hill, and, you know, God's done with you, whatever. I mean, you just take whatever you want to do there, but I'm just trying to see if you're awake, praise God. I'm waiting for some hey-hey. You know, they estimate that Boaz, and this is a real story, this is not a fake story, they estimate that Boaz was in his 70s. In his 70s. I'll let you figure that out on the way home. My goodness, my goodness. So, Father, when we take communion today, I just pray and ask for clarity. That God, you are a way maker. God, we just need to hear your voice. I love Ruth's declaration. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Father, today we agree. What Ruth was saying, the Word of God, that's where we'll go. The Pauline epistles, the New Testament roadmap to Jesus Christ. The very thing that takes us to Bethlehem, where God deposited the seed of heaven. I'm going to the house of bread. I'm looking for what God has for me in the future. I believe in God there is a future. There is a hope. There is a calling. There is anointing. And there's a manifestation. If you believe that today, just say in your heart right now and pray with me, Lord, I ask you, show me with perfect clarity, with 2020 spiritual vision, the opportunities you're putting in front of me in this next year, 2020. Lord, I ask for 2020 spiritual vision. In Jesus' name. Amen. You ready to take communion? I'm asking God